Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Welcome back to Shit Show Saturday, folks. How's it going? So you're going to get to hear our group from this past Thursday, but real quick, I wanted to hit you with 8 reasons why you should really be damning the join, okay? 8 reasons why you'd be a damn fool for not hopping on this damn ship. Number 1, validation. So being a part of a group with others who have experienced similar things as you provides a shitload of validation and breaks through some of that shame and knowing that you're not the only one that has endured these things. 2, emotional support. So a large part of this healing process is bringing up and feeling all of those suppressed emotions that we have stuffed our entire life. And this is a community that is a safe space for you to do so and to have support while you're doing it. 3, breaking isolation. So in the Big Red Book, it talks about how we cannot heal in isolation. Okay, it says this in the Big Red Book. That's all I'm going to say there. 4, learning from others. So we gain a ton of insights into ourselves by hearing the experiences of others, right? These are insights that you wouldn't necessarily gain by sitting in your therapist's office. 5, encouragement and hope. By seeing other people's progress, recovery, and healing, that can give us so much damn hope and encouragement that the same is possible for us. 6, building healthy relationships. So as I always say, this is relational trauma. We heal relational trauma and save relationships. This is a place where you can do so and where you can practice and develop healthier ways of getting along with other people. 7, you don't want this recovery process to be all doom and gloom. This is some painful shit, but you would also like to maybe have a little fun sometimes and have a little laugh sometimes. And last but not least, 8, it is less than $1 a day. It is less than a damn dollar a day, folks. Is your recovery worth $1 a day to you? I would say so. You can quit after a month. If you don't like it, you got no excuses. I'm sorry. And that's that, folks. I think that's quite compelling. I think that's quite convincing. If that doesn't get you, I really don't know what to say. We need to be just damning the join right now, okay? So take those little fingers of yours, and how about you go to the show notes for this episode, and you're going to click the damn the join hyperlink. And don't forget to give me a little follow on the Insta, on the TikTok, and give me a damn 5-star rating on Apple and Spotify. Thank you, love
they
you
They say
all.
That I should damn the join shit show. They say that that's where people go to heal. They say that I'll feel seen and heard like I have never failed before. So I'm going to damn the join right now.
Shame versus guilt. This comes from beyond codependency and getting better all the time. And sometimes worse. Okay. Shame versus guilt. Learn to recognize the difference between shame and guilt. Guilt is believing that what you did isn't okay. Authentic guilt is valuable. It's a signal that we violated our own or universal moral code. It helps keep us honest, healthy, and on track.
Shame is worthless. Guilt is resolvable. We make amends for what we did, learn from our mistakes, and attempt to correct our behavior. Shame isn't resolvable. Shame is worthless. It leaves us with a sense that all we can do is apologize for our existence, even if that falls short of what's needed. We may have mild, medium, and severe shame attacks. We may live in a constant state of shame. We can learn to recognize and identify shame, how it feels, the thoughts it produces, and what it makes us do. Do you run, hide, blame, freeze, fly into a rage, or try to control? Learn to detect when shame is at the core of these behaviors. Hold the light to shame and call it what it is, a nasty feeling dumped on us to impose rules, usually someone else's rules.
I'll start this off. For me, so many of my parts holds different shame for different reasons, right? And what I'm experiencing is my parts need evidence. Like, it's not enough to do any of like the top-down work, but like, I really have to feel it in my body, and my parts have to feel it in my body in a resonance of like, we can let this shame go. It's not all bad. And so like, there's been two experiences recently of doing work. And one was this memory, and in the memory, I wasn't fully present in the experience at the time for me to fully enjoy it, because there was so much like despair and just feeling stuck, and a part just was holding shame over this. It was like, I had to let them see it from a different perspective of like, but do you see the good aspects of the system and the other parts at play and self at play here as well, right? Like that me as a person is not completely bad. And that part that was holding that shame was like starting to melt some and realize, okay, we've done some bad things and we weren't fully present and we've had responses that weren't super great. However, as a human being and as a system, like, we're not all bad, right? But me just telling that part, you're not bad, is not enough. Like, they had to go back into a memory and see it from a different angle and a different perspective, but also like embodying that and just sitting with it, of like the tension of the yin and yang. Like, I forget who was just talking about that within the relationship. It's just a beautiful analogy of way to say it, of like, because it's always a balance between two things and it's not all of one, and being able to like come out of black and white thinking and see the gray, like it's not totally you're a terrible, absolute mess up of a person, right? And a lot of these messages and beliefs got put on to us by other people anyway, from their own messed up trauma that's been passed down to us generationally. So it's not even necessarily even about ourselves at times that we pick the stuff up from. But in doing that, I've found it being like this gradual unfolding of the shame, like it doesn't all just like unburden and it's like all gone. There's still going to be aspects of shame still there. And to have grace with myself and say, that's okay that I still feel shame sometimes. We're not done healing yet. There's still more things at play here. There's still deeper layers to go through, right? And to keep that concept in mind of like, it's an ongoing process of becoming. And just letting my parts witness that, and as like a whole, and not just as a separate part, but as a like a more as a group of saying it over like a loud system of like, hey, do you all see this? Do you all hear this? Do you all experience this? And you know, they're not all there, but there's more often than not recently, there's more on the scene to witness that. And so it's like a gradual uncoupling of this shame that's so toxic to me. So yeah, I'm not there yet. However, it's like one day at a time with all this stuff. So that's my two cents for today. Thanks, everyone.
I thought of this when Jesse was speaking, and so my thought is not as clearly formed, but in relation to parts work and shame, I've shared this before, that where I have had the most success doing parts work myself is identifying the emotions, and shame is one of them. And so I have identified a shame part of me and an anxiety part of me. And so far that's working great, because those are two areas that I struggle with the most. And what has helped me, it helped me because it allows me to accept or to see all of myself as acceptable, that shame is only a part of me. It doesn't define me. So that's a new perspective I've gained. But it's also helped me, like when you break down those little moments of shame and you pick it apart to the base and figure out what was going on, a lot of times I have been able to find that it was someone else's shame inflicted on me. Like, they didn't like the way I was behaving. I wasn't holding up the family line or whatever. And when I can pick it down to that, I'm like, that's not my shame to carry anymore. And I can, like, diffuse that particular memory. So I'm still having the most luck just talking to shame as though it's just a little part of me that's, you know, been really busy. And I give it praise and appreciation because it's, you know, done a lot to help me survive. But I really like when I can see, like, especially when it comes through as something that somebody else put on me, kind of like the reading, somebody else's rules. So anyway, that's where I'm at with that.
I'm going to try to make sense. I know from doing parts work, and having compassion for my own shame, that I can see when people are, like, other people are acting out of their own shame, and then have compassion for them too. It's just like that self-discovery and that self-compassion has really helped me understand where people are coming from. I almost feel like I didn't realize for a while that I had shame around money. And I kind of made a choice very recently after a bunch of healing work that I said to myself, I didn't want to be stressed out and angry or scared about money anymore, decided not to. And, I'm really sticking by that. And once I realized I was feeling shame, not guilt, that something like that is not connected to my character whatsoever and who I am as a person. So even though I've been doing this work for a long time, there was still shame that I didn't recognize as shame. And it's always a work in progress. That's all I have to say.
So I'm driving. Hopefully y'all can hear me with the headphones.
We can.
I just, something I've noticed about shame, my own journey, I think probably I could say for all of us, but the shame, I think the shame that lingers and stays in our bodies and, like, sticks around does so in some ways, you know, in conscious or unconscious ways with our permission, as a strategy to keep us from pain or punishment or someone else's pain or punishment, taking care of us or giving. And so I think shame doesn't go easily because it's a way of protecting. So I just think that shame requires, like Jesse said, like, evidence for our protectors to know, like, it's okay to let this go. Because it's not going to go away if like a part of you is, like, very strong in believing that this is what protects us. And so I think it necessitates understanding the story behind how it got there and how it's serving you and the benefit is, and, like, reparenting that part of you, like, actually there's a lot better ways than shame or not forgiving yourself to get what you want, to get what you need.
Everyone shared so much good stuff. And I think about the shame that was instilled in me as a child growing up. It was so subtle. I hear people share sometimes, you know, like, they were told they were no good or they were called names. Like, my parents did it in such a way that I didn't even realize it was happening. And sometimes I still have to remind myself that I was being shamed by certain behaviors. I have to really, like, you know, I have to pick it apart a little bit. And I've always said, you know, for me, like, I expect this perfection. And if I don't do something perfectly, it means that there's something wrong with me. And I was listening to what Jesse said. And I know that, Andrew, you said it the other night and it stuck with me. You know, there's a part of me. It's a part of me. I am not all shame. It's a part. And because of the black and white, all or nothing thinking, it's very easy for me to go to that place where this everything snowballs, you know, when I make a mistake. And usually my mistakes are made in situations that matter to me, okay? matter to me, like my family, my children, my work. You know, I'm held because of what I do for a living, my profession. I am held to a sort of higher standard of not making a mistake, because if I make a mistake, I could, you know, I could hurt someone, I could kill someone. I mean, it's that simple. And I think of that, and that's a lot of pressure to put on myself. And I have to remember, and again, I have to be careful, you know, like I don't just walk around like whatever. If I make a mistake, I'm human. But I mean, things happen and I make you know, we make mistakes, right? And I've been able to begin to really just, you know, have some compassion for the fact that like I'm a human and I make mistakes, and it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with me. It just means that I'm human. And I'm able to separate the guilt, the, oh, I could have done it this way, the like looking back and maybe I should have prepared better for that. Like, because the moral compass is there. Like, I don't want to hurt anyone. You know, I'm talking about really anything. If I do something and I regret it, I have a feeling of guilt, and I have a feeling of guilt because I care. And it doesn't mean that I'm a horrible person. It just means that I'm human and humans make mistakes. You know, I think it does protect me. I think like Josh was talking about, like the protectors, like, yes, it's this part of me has been instilled in me to keep me, to protect me. And, you know, again, I go back to just having compassion for the part, not doing what I used to do, which is trying to brush it away and whatever's going on, just make it go away. And you shouldn't feel this way. Just really understand where it's coming from. And it's interesting because the other day there was something in the chat, and I forget who put it in there, but it was something about like noticing other people's parts. And I can say, like at work, my manager sometimes, one of them in particular, I recognize her parts. I recognize her shame component because I can see the need for being hypervigilant, being perfect, like everything has to be a certain way. And whereas I would normally just be pissed off about it, like shut the fuck up and leave me alone and let me do my job, there is a sense of understanding and compassion. And not that there's that fine line, there's that boundary, you know, where I have to, I can't worry about her more than I worry about me. However, it's just a beautiful thing. I'm just going to end this with, what a gift to finally realize that it's not this way or this way. Oh my God. It's like, whoa. It's not all good or all bad or all right or all wrong or all shame or no shame. And it's okay. And we're just human and we're just doing the best we can. And we're not unique and we all have this heart, and we just all need to, I just need to love myself and have that compassion that I wasn't given. And yeah, I'm just really grateful to be here and for this, just for finding you all, really. Thank you.
All right, my shit show ladies, let me tell you about how I can make getting dressed so much easier for you. Armoire is a clothing rental membership where you get to build your perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you gotta do is take a 5-minute style quiz and then select from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new to you styles. So I love this because I'm on video quite often on interviews and social media content, and I don't want people to be like, is that the only shirt that this girl owns? I also would not consider myself in the know of what's hot and what's not. But with Armoire, I get to pretend like I'm a fashionista. So this is perfect for working moms, for stay-at-home moms, for any women who just don't feel like going to the store. Now, right now, you shit show ladies can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off your first month. So that is up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/littlechild. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/littlechild to get 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear ever again.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Well, I want to be serious, but also I'm going to start off with a joke and crack a bunch of jokes. All right, obviously. Why did the codependent cross the road? To help the chicken make a decision. I thought that was such a stupid dad joke. Anyways, I'm working on my like routine apparently for codependent like recovery jokes. Anyways, jokes aside, probably more jokes. This shit hits home. Like, shame for real. Like, I just realized how much growing up in my household, like, I was raised like super uber hyper Christian, very evangelical. So like, if you happen to believe in God or whatever, Jesus, like, good for you. Love that for you. It's just not for me. It brought up a lot of toxic things for me. And I realized that the way my mom specifically used it was like this victimhood as a defense for it. Because like, you could never admit any amount of guilt, like that you'd done anything wrong. Because if you admit that like 1% of it was your fault, you took all the blame for it. So it was this like dance, this like mental gymnastics of making sure that you never had me. No, how? Of course not. I would never. I'm the victim in the scenario. And like, I know that because I learned to do that shit from her. And so I'll do it. And like catching myself on it of being like, it's okay to say that like, I screwed up at work. Like, I forgot about that thing and it fucked the thing up. And you know what? All right. Gonna be okay. Like, a few years ago, I never could have done that. I would have taken it all to heart that I was such a failure, that I should kill myself because nothing is good in the world and there's no hope and there's no love and there's no future. Like, very dramatic, because again, that victimhood takes over, that needs to be super dramatic to make sure that like the defense is strong enough. Because like, if I hate myself enough first, you can't hurt me. At least that's the thinking, is that like, I'm going to protect myself with it. And it doesn't get you very far. It hasn't gotten me very far. And learning in recovery how my higher power teaches me, like with a voice of compassion, that like, I am able to own my shit, my side of the street, but I also don't have to take your side and fix everything for you. And like, getting to set boundaries with like friends and coworkers and stuff has been hard. I don't like it. It doesn't feel good in the moment, but I've learned that doing it has felt more empowering. In terms of empowerment also, I've been talking about this for like months in here now. But with my new job situation, they're like, hey, we're going to give you this little raise. And I was like, hey, what if it were more? And they're like, okay, that's fine. And I was like, fucking yes. Like, I was so proud that I did the scary thing. Like, I just clicked send on the email and it didn't kill me and it wasn't scary. And they didn't say no. Like, they actually said yes. And they're like, oh, we'll write in the budget for more next year. And I'm like, future? What? Wasn't expecting any of that. So again, I'm learning to not shame myself that I feel stupid for coming in here a few weeks ago. Like, the sky is falling down. My job is getting all fucked up. And everything's turned out better. But I've learned that I needed to go through those things and like actually grieve something for once in my life. That like, it's okay to grieve that I'm sad that I was going to lose my roommate and his dog and the situation and like the brotherhood. And another change is it looks like I get to stay here because he's going to work for the new company. And I get to stay here with my dog, Eddie. And I really love that. And that's really cool because I don't have to shame myself for being a whatever. I don't have to shame myself anymore. So glad you all are here doing too. Don't shame yourself today. Thanks.
So a big aha, I guess I had around shame about a year ago, I was kind of reflecting on trying to figure out where mine came from. And growing up in I grew up in like a pretty Christian, like Baptist family. And there was never a time where I felt like I was allowed to be right or allowed to be happy or, you know, because it made my parents too uncomfortable. And my mom's recourse for that a lot was using guilt as a way to kind of tamp down any of those feelings, whether it be like something I wanted that she couldn't get, anything along those lines. And when I realized that it was kind of like a passed down shame, because it was like she felt like it was love that she was incapable of giving, I recognized that that was kind of a crossed wire that developed when I was younger. And so when I was feeling it a lot in present day, it was oftentimes with friends when like I needed to ask for something or to like stand up for myself. And when I started to acknowledge that feeling, not as like there's something wrong with me, but like, oh, I just clearly am in need of like love or support or something along those lines, it really changed the way that I kind of saw my dynamics with people. And something else I learned as I was going through that was that cringe is kind of the antidote to a lot of shame, and that sometimes you just have to do the really cringy thing to get past the moment, and it kind of neutralizes it altogether. And then you kind of get that result of, oh, that wasn't so bad. Oh, I actually kind of got something that I needed from this. And it helps to, it doesn't fix it completely. You're still going to run into it. But it has helped a lot. And I experience it a lot less than I did in the past. And it's become a lot easier to rely on people and things along those lines. But I was recognizing it and then kind of having to reshape the way that I thought about it really did a lot for me and is still doing a lot for me in terms of especially asking for help and showing up and doing things like sharing like right now.
So I had this really great boss, and my company did a restructuring at the beginning of June, and my boss changed effective a week and a half ago. And I work in a male dominant industry, and I'm the only woman on my team. We have a weekly meeting. Yesterday was our second one. And he's like changing the format of the meeting, and he's pretty low level compared to my previous boss. And he's got like no vision, and he clearly seems like he doesn't want to be challenged. And we were discussing this thing on the call about, and there's about like 15 of us on the call, and we were discussing this idea that he had and how it was going to be implemented. And it was a pretty dumb fucking idea. And there were several of us that were saying like what we thought and how we could make it different or make it better or whatever. Anyway, I usually eat on meetings because I was told once that it makes you approachable, which I do not think he agrees with, but I was eating. Anyway, I got off the meeting and I was like, that was, you know, whatever. That didn't go great. I was kind of pissed off and I was like, okay, fine. I don't talk to my boss like often. It's not, you know, it's not that type of an environment. So anyway, so yesterday, oh, I guess the meeting was on Tuesday. So yesterday, randomly, I get this like 4:30 touch base meeting with him, which is like not something that would happen in our type of environment. And I was like, I'm in trouble for something I did at this meeting. Something I said, something I did. And it's kind of been like this building, like I went through this, I sort of identify with some of what Mike was saying. I sort of went through this like grieving period. I lost my boss. I loved my boss. He's the reason I came to this company. So I went through that in June. I'm still kind of in it. And now like, now we've got this new structure, this new boss. It's been a week and a half. I already hate everything. And I'm trying to just keep my space because I don't want to like be too emotional and angry with him. Like I don't trust him. We don't have a relationship yet, whatever. Anyway, he sends me this stupid meeting request. And I'm like, okay. So I go to the meeting. Oh, and it says in the invite, nothing to prepare. I'm like, this is. So anyway, I show up and he's like, how did you think the call went yesterday? And I was like, this is a trap. And I was like, okay, I don't really know how to respond to that. I like, obviously my expectations from what we used to do, like, I don't think that's fair, but I don't really know what to expect out of like what you're trying to create in the new structure. And I don't know you as a leader, so I'm not really sure how to respond to that question. And he said, okay, well, I was just noticing that you had, you can hear the tone of my voice too. I'm so mad. He was like, I was just noticing that you had really negative body language on the meeting and you seemed really disengaged. And I was like, so I said, well, I presented the same way as I have for the past, I've worked for the company for 2 years. I said, I presented the same way as I have for the past 2 years on team meetings. And I've never heard that before, but I really appreciate your feedback. And I don't think he knew what to say. And he was like, okay. And I was pissed and I couldn't fucking believe that he was saying that because I was just being me. Like, I was just being the same way I always am. I don't know if it was the eating. It was probably the fact that I was challenging something that he wanted to do, but challenging respectfully. Like, I'm a director. He's a vice president. Like, this is the way we engage in dialogue. Like, it's not, this is, I just couldn't believe it. And so anyway, I got off of the meeting and I cried. It was like, I can't, I'm fucking crying over this dickwad. Like, this is so ridiculous. And then I was like, I do think there's some misogyny. And I'm like, I'm the only woman coming into it. My HR was like, oh, you know, give him a chance. He's a Southern gentleman. I'm like a Northeast person through and through. I'm like, oh my God, I'm okay. And so the reason I'm sharing this is because I wanted to share it. And then I realized as you're all talking, as I'm thinking about the talk, I'm like, he fucking tried to shame me. Like, he totally tried to shame me and I am not taking it. And I am not going to own it. And what's interesting is my initial reaction, and I could see it too as I was crying. And I was like, oh my gosh, what part of me is responding to this? What part of me is reacting? And my initial reaction was, okay, fine. I'm just not going to talk. I'll turn off my camera sometimes, or I'll turn it on when I know that he wants the camera on, whatever, but I'm just not going to be me. And I'll just silence myself. I won't be who I am. Everything that built my reputation to where I am today, right now in my current role, I just won't do it. And then I was like, no, that's what he fucking wants. Like, I can't do that. So anyway, I'm proud of my 24-hour process that I've gotten to a place of, no, I'm not going to change anything about who I am or how I present it. I was not disrespectful. He just doesn't want to, whatever. Anyway, thanks guys. Let it all go. What's making you slow now? Don't let it go.